Chavches Amar Aleph, it is 28A. Here we go, Rabbi Yisai. Ah, another day, more Torah. Okay, so it says Zoyis HaTorah. So the Gemara discussed the halachas of a tent made out of the material that comes from some tree, and it said that if it is made out of a tree material, then it is not mekabel tuma, meaning the tent itself is not mekabel tuma, except if it comes from a pishtun. So the first question was, how do you know that a pishtun is called a tree? The Gemara sourced that. Now the Gemara wanted to know that where do you know that something that comes from being a something that comes from pishtun is able to be mekabel tuma. The Gemara says we learn gzeir shava oyel. It says the word oyel in this parsha, and it says the word oyel in that parsha. And it says the word oyel in this parsha. It says the word oyel in the parsha of contracting tumas negoyim. And it says the word oyel by Mishkan. Zoyis haTorah Adam kemetz ba'oyel. And it says by Mishkan v'yifarsh es ha'oyel al ha'mishkan. Ma'ala halan shel pishtan karoi oyel. Just like over there, it was pishtan. It was made out of flax. The oyel, the tarp, I don't want to use the word tarp, but the tarp that you spread over the Mishkan was made out of pishtan. So too is this parsha of contracting tuma made out of pishtan. Says the Gemara, well, if it has to be exact, it was a very, very fancy method of sewing and creating this Mishkan, this oil that was on the Mishkan. It was ima lahalon shizurin. If over there, by the case of the Mishkan, it was shizurin. Each, by the case of the Mishkan, the threads that this pishtin was made out of were made out of special ones that they were tied, v'chut and kafal shisha, and they were, each thread was tied over six times. Avkan shizurin v'chut and kafal shisha. So to over here, it should be like that. It should be tied over six times. What does that mean? That means, like, if you look at your tzitzis, the threads themselves, you could either have a very thin thread. Like, for example, if you take a thread from a needle and thread, and that thread, you could have some thicker threads and some thinner threads. The thicker thread is just more fibers that were twined together as they made the thread. Then you have something like the tzitzis, which is, if you look at our tzitzis, it's a very thick, what we'll call a thread. And the real thing is that it's eight, it's two threads tied together, so you could untwist them. But if you look closely, you'll notice that each thread, each of those two threads, is actually made up of four distinct threads. So our tzitzis are kafel shmoina. So the threads that were made in the base in the Mishkan were kafel shisha. They looked almost as thick as our tzitzis strings. So again, our tzitzis strings are usual kafel before they're twined together. What shizurin means is a machlekas in the Mishnah Berurah. What do they say over in our school? Usually, I think it means it's just doubled over at the end. How do they say it?
Twisted thread.
Yeah, twisted thread. So it's like our tzitzis. So our twist, if you look at our tzitzis, that's what I was saying. It's a, Mr. Burr brings down a, if you look at our tzitzis, they're first made out of kafel shisha, and then it's twisted, shizurin. So that's like each, if you slightly, you don't want to ruin your tzitzis, but if you slightly undo the twist, and then look closely at the threads, you'll notice that each thread is made out of four distinct threads. So, and that's what, those were the threads that the Mishkan was made out of. So it was a very thick weave. You can imagine sort of like a carpet weave. It was like a very thick weave. Says the Gemara, maybe that's the only way that it's called an oyel. Imalalan shizurin v'chutin kafal shisha, afkan shizurin v'chutin kafal shisha. Says the Gemara, Tamid Leimer, oyhel, oyhel, riba. There's an extra word, oyhel, that is marba, all types of thread, all types of linen thread. Says the Gemara, e oyhel, oyhel, riba, then maybe it's marba even other materials. Afilu kol milinami. And the Gemara says, imkem gzerishava mayahani. If it was marba everything, so then you don't need the gzerishava. So in other words, we have something, the gzerishava minimizes it. There's an oil that includes other things, but you can't tell me it includes everything, because then you don't need, what are you going to use with the minimization? So the minimizer stays to exclude other materials, and the oil riba tells you even that material. 1 second, I forgot to say brachatavah. Okay, says the Gemara, ve'ema lahalon krushim afkan krushim. The Gemara says maybe over there it's only an oil if it's placed over beams, and maybe over here also it's only going to be an oil if it's placed over beams, but a regular tent on pegs maybe not. Amar krava sisa krushim lamishkan. The Gemara says no, because it says you will make krushim for the mishkan. Obviously the mishkan is already a mishkan even without the krushim. Krushim the mishkan, mishkan karim mishkan, ain't krushim karim mishkan. The krushim do not make up the mishkan. The krushim are there for the mishkan. So the Gemara says, Ella meyata, it says, Va'asisa michsa lo oihel. You shall make a covering for the oihel. There was another covering on top of that, a covering of a leather covering. So over there also, let us be medayik, that michsi lo ikri oihel. That the covering of the leather coverings, is also not called an oihel. It's a covering for the oihel. So if that was true, then oihel that comes from leather, in other words, we excluded all types of materials that were based from a tree, but we didn't exclude leather materials. Leather materials is a regular oihel. But if you're telling me that it says oihel, if it says michse lo oihel, and the michse is the covering, the michse was made out of leather, and it says, make it for the oihel. What's that mashma? That it's not an oihel itself. Make it for the oihel, which is made out of linen. So Elohad, the boy, Rabbi Lazar says, Or behema tmeya, mahu sheyatame be'oihel ameis. He wanted to know what happens if you have beautiful tiger skin. What's the halach if you have tiger skin? Or any other non-kosher rabbit fur or whatever. Is that metame be'oihel? Says the Gemara, of course not. Even if you have kosher cow skin, it's not going to become tummy or goat skin. Hashta or behema tahira lo mitama or behema tamea mi boi. If or behema tahira is not tummy, then or behema tamea certainly is not going to be tummy. Says the Gemara, Shaini Hasam, the hadar ahadre krad, the siv. So the Gemara says, you're right, there is one mashmaus in the psukim that indicates that leather is not going to be considered an oihel, but like you just said, oihel lemichse le'oihel, but there is another pasuk which includes it, as it says, v'nosu es yuri ois ha-mishkan ve'es oihel mo'ed, michsehu u'michse ha-tachash asher olav. It says, the yuri ois ha-mishkan, is the linen, and it says right afterwards, v'nosu es yuri ois ha-mishkan ve'es oihel mo'ed. Oihel mo'ed is the goat skins, and the michsehu, the covering, is the ram skins, and the michse ha-tachash is the special animal called the tachash, which we'll talk about today. But there was another covering that was covered by the tachash. So makish elyon l'tachten, the Torah puts them, lumps them all together and teaches you matachten kari oil, just like the bottom one, which is the linen ones, are called oil. So to af elyon kari oil. So to the top ones, which were all made out of some sort of animal skins, either goats, rams, and tachash, were also called oil. Says the Gemara Gufa, boy, Rabbi Elazar, or behemoth tamei umashi tamei tumas oihelin, can non-kosher animal skins contract tuma if they are the oihel? Says the Gemara, Maikami boyle, what's the question? Omer of Adamarava, the question was the tachash shahoya bime moishe kami boyle. This Gemara, the question was, this tachash that existed in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, was what type of animal was it? Was it tamei haya or tahar haya? was it a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? Did it have split hooves and chew its cud or not? Amr of Yosef, mighty boile, what's the question? Tanina, of course, they only used kosher animals. Of course it was kosher. Maisiv Rabba Abba, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Shnei Mechsois, Hayu. Rabbi Yehuda, questions the Gemara. How could you say that it was a tar animal? Rabbi Yehuda says that there were two coverings. Echad shel Oiris Elim Ma'adamim. One was from redskins. By the way, what does it mean, Oiris Elim Ma'adamim? They were skin, rams that were red. Have you ever seen a red ram? The Gemara says what they used to do was, they used to, right before the animal was shechted, like a half an hour before, maybe even longer, they used to bruise the animal. They used to hit, and really, really hit it to make the skin bruised. And this way, it was full of broken blood vessels, and the skin was very red. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, it's very interesting because we see from there that bruising an animal, if you need it, is permitted. We see that animals are there for our good. And therefore, if you need an animal, even if it has to undergo pain, but if it's for a human need, then it's okay. That's the heter for animal testing and things like that.
They didn't need it.
What?
They didn't need it.
That's what the Torah says. The Torah says you needed red ram skins. So they needed it. So, ve'echad shel eris tchashim, and one was made out of the tchashim. Rabbi Nechemiah, I remember say echad haya. It was one covering. Half was made. It wasn't two coverings. First, Eres Elam Adamim, and then another one of the Tachash. It was one covering, half made out of rams and half made out of Tachash. V'doyma kimin tala ilan. And this animal, this Tachash, looked like a type of animal that's called a tala ilan, which is a bunch of different coverings. Now, v'ha tala ilan is tamayu. And a tla'ilan is a type of, like, it's like a small tiger, and it's got tons of covers, like a leopard. It's covered over with it's not kosher animal, and yet you're telling me the Tachash looked like that. So the Gemara says, okay, he was just saying the colors are the same. He wasn't saying that it was non kosher like him. Hachi Kamar says the Gemara, kimin tla'ilan sheyesh by gvan arba, that had many colors. But it wasn't actually a tla'ilan. That was a tame creature, and this is a tar creature. Says the Gemara, Amar Vesef, oh, if that's pshat, then ihachi, haine de tar megaminen sas gvaina. Almost like sas now, Reb Shimon. There you go. The translation of this tachash, this beautiful creature, was called the sas gvaina. Why did Targum translate sas gvaina? Because it says sas, it was very happy and joyous, begavanim harbe, with its beautiful colors. There you go, Reb Shimon. That's the name sas now.
Yeah.
So, so we now know one fact about the Tachash, which is that it had beautiful colors, and it had a beautiful coat, and not only that, it was, what's a good word, not balgaiva, but it was proud, it was very proud of its coat. Like a little girl showing off her bows. What's a good word for that? It was very proud of his coat, we'll just keep it at that. Rava Amar, Or Behema Temeya. So that's the Gemara. Rava says, Or Behema Temeya, the Matama Ba'el HaMeis Mehacha. The fact that an Or Behema Temeya, a tiger skin, that it's Matama Ba'el HaMeis, is learned from the following source. The Tanya, as it states in the Pasuk, Or. It says Or, and it says Be'or. It says, it says in the Pasuk, Oy Be'or. That's what it says in the Pasuk. The Gemara says it could have used the word R. Why did it use the word oy be'or? The extra bays teaches you, riba or behema tameya, teaches you that even non-kosher animal skins are able to contract toma. And it also teaches you, vishalaka biad kohen. Another thing that this pasuk teaches you is if the kohen is holding the garment, examining it, and suddenly as he's examining it, it grows a nega. At that point, it's still nevertheless tamei. Kotzatz mikulan. If you have a piece of material, an undershirt, that is made a little bit out of tzemer, a little bit out of pishtan, a little bit out of skin. Okay, it can't be an undershirt because that would be shatnez. So it was some sort of curtain or whatever. And va'asa achas mehen, and you make a tent out of it. Minayin, how do you know that's also tamei? Tamei leimar oy bechol meleches or. Okay. So that pasuk actually exists by negoyim, by the garment itself contracting tuma. Rava is extrapolating from a place where the garment itself is contracts tuma through negoyim. Rava extrapolates to our conversation, which is tumas oyhalim, which is if the mace is in the tent, that the tent itself can contract tuma. Says the Gemara, how could you extrapolate from negoyim to mace? Ve'ikil mifrach mal negoyim sheken shesiva erev tamei behen. By negoyim, we know that even the threads are able to be contract tumah. Whereas by any other tumah, the threads prior to being sewn into final format cannot be contract tumah. So mal negoyim sheken shesiva erev, even the threads, the warps and the wefts, can become tamei. Says the Gemara, ela gomar mishratzim. He says, you're right. He learns it from the fact that they're able to contract tumah, that an undershirt made out of leather or whatever can contract tumah. Mishratzim, the Tanya, or Ainli Ella or Behemat Tahira, or Behemat Tumei Minayin, Tamad Leimar, Oyar. So just like by contracting tumah sheretz, a non-kosher animal skin, animal hide, can contract tumah. So too, in Oyhal Ameis, a non-kosher animal hide can contract Tuma. V'ikil mifrach ma'al shratzim shekein metamed ba'adasha, b'kadasha. The Gemara says, you can't learn from shratzim. Shratzim, the size of an adasha, of a sheretz, is able to give over Tuma. Whereas mace, you need even a kezias. The Gemara says, well, what's the reason why you don't believe you could learn out of shratzim? Because the sheretz that has a chumrah that even the tiniest amount, the size of a lentil, can convey tumah. And therefore, I wish I had a board here. Oh, I do have a board, but let's see if I can just to see if we could speak out. Let's see if we can make okay. If we have Negoyim. The Gemara says, there's two things you can learn it out for. There's Shuratzim, and then there is Negoyim. What are we learning out? We would like to learn out to Oyhal Hameis. Oyhal Hameis. That's what we need to know. We know positively, do you see my mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We know positively that Shuratzim, leather, is able to contract tuma. And we know that negoyim, leather, is able to contract tuma. Because it says oy ba'ar over here, and it says oy ba'ar over here. The question is, does oil hameis able to contract tuma? So first, Rava says, let's learn it from negoyim. The Gemara says, you can't do that. Because negoyim has a quality about it, that the quality by negoyim is that it's It can contract tuma, contract even by threads. And the Gemara says, fine, so learn it by shratzim. The Gemara says, you can't learn it from shratzim, because shratzim is able to convey tuma even at size of lentil. So the Gemara then says, okay, so we see we can't learn it out of shratzim, because Shratzim has the tumah that it gives over at the size of a lentil. Whereas oil hameis, you need the size of a kezias. So the Gemara says, okay, learn it out of a conjunction of both shratzim and negoyim. Because what are you telling me when you say that shratzim you cannot learn to oil hameis because shratzim conveys tumah at the size of the lentil? What are you telling me? You're telling me that maybe only things that convey tumah at the size of a lentil are able to convey tumah to a non-kosher leather. But I'll show you that's not true, because negoyim, it doesn't convey tumah at only the size of a lentil, and yet it affects even non-kosher leathers. So we see this quality is not the quality that does it. So the Gemara is basically saying, learn it out of shrutzim, learn it out of conjunction of shrutzim and negoyim. What are you going to tell me that no, shrutzim you can't learn out of it, because maybe shrutzim is different, because it conveys tumah the size of a lentil. Maybe that's the thing that causes tumah to non-kosher leathers. That's not true, says the Gemara, because we know negoyim doesn't have that quality, and yet it contracts tumah. Oh, you're going to tell me that negoyim can affect threads? And maybe that's the quality, but we know that's not true by shrutzim. So these things are then deleted by each other. And putting them together, shrutzim and negoyim, you could then learn to oil
amaze. But what about negoyim is a gris?
Okay, let's see if let's see if the Gemara does anything with that. Excellent. You may have been mechavan to the Gemara. Beautiful. The Gemara says the ikel mefrach. The Gemara says, "Ikel mevrach ma'al shrutzim shekem tamei gadash." The Gemara says, "Negoyim yechichu." Learn it from Negoyim. Negoyim tells you the words yechichu means it proves. Negoyim yechichu. Negoyim proves that convey the size of a lentil is not a quality to be concerned with. V'chazar hadin loy reize kareize v'loy reize kareize. Each one's chumra is not like the other one, which tells us that those are not chumras to be concerned with. Outside of Shavu Shabahen, the lowest common denominator between the two of them is that Or Tamei Bahen, that She'or Tamei Bahen, that leathers are Tamei, and Or Behemah Tameya Ba'or Behemah Taira, and non-kosher leathers are just like kosher leathers. So Afani Avi Oilameis, She'or Tamei Bahen. So I will also bring to Oilameis that leather should be Tamei Bahen, V'nasa Ba'or Behemah Taira, Ka'or Behemah Tameya, Ka'or Behemah Taira, and there should be no difference between non-kosher and kosher leathers. Amar le Rav mi Barnish le Rav Ashi, says Rav from Barnish to Rav Ashi, just like the Baron boys from Morse. Ikel mifrach ma'alat tzadah shavash abehen shekein temein bepachas mikazayas. No, because both, you're right. This conveys the size of a lentil, and obviously that's not the main, that's not the quality that's the difference, but this one also has another quality. And that is that it conveys at the size of a gris. And therefore, the lowest common denominator between the two, the common denominator between the two, is that it conveys less than the size of a
kezias. Toimer b'meisha inim etam ela b'kezias. Ela amar rabbi b'varnish, aysi b'kava chomer minutza shel izim. It comes from b'kava chomer from the nutza shel izim, a material made out of the hairs of a goat, which we know nowadays as being, there's two ways you can get hairs of a goat. It's either like cashmere, I believe, like I think that's hairs of a goat, or it's a very thick material, like what they have for sackcloth. So just like hairs of a goat is metamah ba'ol hameis. Or behemah tameya shemitama b'negoyim ain't a din shemitama ba'olam eis. If nutza shel izim, which is you're able to make a oil hameis out of it, it's able to become an oil. So, and nevertheless, it's not metamah b'negoyim, she'ain metamah b'negoyim, and nevertheless, it's able to become tamei by oil ameis. So then, or behemah tamei, which is metamah b'negoyim, she'metamah, ain't it din she'metamah by oil ameis, certainly should become tamei by oil ameis. I don't know. So that's the Gemara's kal v'chomer. The Gemara now says, okay, drop this whole thing. We're not learning it. We're not learning it from negoyim. Here we go. We're not learning it from Negoyim. We're learning it from a new place. What's the new place? It's a Kal V'chomer. If by Negoyim, and now the Gemara has a chart. The Gemara now makes a chart. Here we go. A chart. And Azoy. Here we have we'll just keep Oil HaMeis over there. And here we have Negoyim. What's the chart? Here we're going to have Nutzashel, we're going to have goat hair tent. And here we're going to have rabbit fur. So now, if goat hair tent gets a X over here, whoops. If goat hair tent gets an X over here, and yet a check over here, so rabbit fur, which gets a check over here, certainly, what would you fill out over here? Certainly, you would fill out that rabbit fur should get a check over there.
Says the Gemara, but we started off with a question that if you want to use a the Gemara at this point understands that okay, if the halacha is that or behema tameya is tame, that would mean that the tachash is an or behema tameya. So this that Rabbi Yosef said that they were not machshir from melech shemaim ella arbahim tahira bavad, only kosher animals. L'may hilchasa. Why was it stated? The Gemara says, don't tell me that it's coming to tell you that the tachash was tahir, because in other words, the Gemara wanted to know, what was the point of Rabbi Yitzchak saying this halacha, that you're only able to use kosher animals? Who cares? Who cares what the tachash was made out of? We're never having the Mishkan again. The Mishkan is never going to be made again. And therefore, who cares that we made the tachash? Who cares what the tachash was? That's the Gemara's question. Who cares if the tachash was made out of, if the tachash itself was a kosher animal or not kosher animal? It doesn't make a difference to us. Elamai, the only nafka.
There's a lot of things we learn throughout Shas that don't make a difference to us.
In fact, a lot of the Mishkan itself you can ask this question about. There's like four parashas about the Mishkan.
Yeah.
One second.
Shas, we back and forth on details of the Mishkan and, you know, measurements of this and, you know, doesn't make a difference. Learn it because it's Torah.
Let's see. 1 second.
But don't we care specifically because it says that it's a kosher animal?
No, what happened was...
It just is.
With the tachash?
Yes.
I don't think it says that anywhere. We assume it, but I don't think it says it.
Well, the Gemara is about to say, actually, the Gemara is about to discuss if it was a Torah or a tummy. It's coming right up. It's going to be inferred, but I don't think it's beferish. But the way Rashi says the question is, Kevin de Ravina, since you're telling me that, you see, Bishlama, if we were learning something out of there, that non-kosher animals can skin, can become tameh, so then I understand why we needed to mention that you're only able to use kosher. I could understand this halacha that you said you're only able to use kosher animals for the melech shemayim. But if you're telling me that it's not nogeya lahalacha, because anyways, rabbit fur is kosher, as we just proved from a kal v'chomer, so then why is it important at all that the tachash was kosher? That's the way Rashi explains the kasha. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just saying, I hear your question. Look, you see Tosfos? Lamai Hilchasa? On the bottom, the last small lines. Don't tell me that it's just coming to tell you that the tachash was tahar.
The mashma de azlash min shum tzarechira. The mashmois is that he's coming to tell you some sort of psak. Yes, that's the answer to your question. It's mashma that he's coming to, it's mashma from the halacha that he's not just telling us some sort of historical fact or halacha that you could learn out of. It's mashma that here he's coming to tell you a psak. That's the answer. That's what Tosfos is coming for. Okay, so the Gemara says, this is the Gemara Litfilin. It's coming to tell you, you're right, has nothing to do with the Mishkan. He was coming to tell you halacha in Tefillin that when making a Tefillin, you have to use leather specifically from a tahor animal. Says the Gemara Tefillin, that says a beferish. L'man tia teres Hashem beficha. Min hamuter beficha. It says l'man tia teres Hashem beficha. It should be in your mouth, and it says the reason we're darshaning that is to tell you that it's from specifically a species that is mutter in your mouth that you can eat. Ella, the Gemara says at that point, the Gemara thinks that we're talking about the klaf that you write the words on. The Gemara says ella lo oiran. No, the chiddush is even the tefillin straps, even the tefillin that houses the tefillin itself, the tefillin boxes itself also have to be made out of kosher leather. The Gemara says, "V'hamar Rabbi, shin shel tefillin alach l'moshe mi-Sinai." The shin that is inscribed on the side of our tefillins is alach l'moshe mi-Sinai. And similarly, is the because you have to write out the word Shakai, and therefore, since there's part of Hashem's name on it, that's included in what it says. You must write tefillin on a kosher animal. The Gemara says,
"How do we get from Tachash in the Mishkan to tefillin?"
Because Rabbi Yitzchak's statement was not referring to anything specific. Rabbi Yitzchak's statement was, when using melecha shemayim, when using something for Hashem, and using skins, you have to use kosher animals.
Okay.
So at first we thought, the only thing, when do we ever use animals? It must be for the Mishkan. The Gemara says, no, it's talking about the parchment. The Gemara says, the parchment is beferish. Elamai is talking about the boxes. The boxes also have a shin on it, so you're also writing on it. So the Gemara now says, elalakarchan besa'aron ulatoifron begidan. The halacha is that when you have your parchment of tefillin, if you would open up your tefillin, you'll notice that they're rolled up and tied with a hair. It is tied with a cow hair. And when they sew your tefillin together, they don't use regular threads. They use sinews. It's actual animal material. Sinews. You can't just use regular threads. If you go to Kesher Stam, you see it has a big, thick thing of sinews, which he unwinds. So it's telling you that when using hairs to tie the parshas and when using sinews to tie the bottom, you need a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, "Hanami alach l'moshe mi-Sinai." That's also alach l'moshe mi-Sinai. What was that?
What?
Yeah, "Hanami alach l'moshe mi-Sinai." The Tanya tefillin merubais, as it states, tefillin that have to be square is alach l'moshe mi-Sinai. And the nikrach is bizarre, and the fact that it's tied with the hair, and it's far as begidan, and that it has to be eventually sewn down with sinews, are all alach l'moshe mi-Sinai. And the alach l'moshe mi-Sinai includes the fact that they have to be from a kosher animal. Ella says the Gemara l'ritzuyos, for the straps. The straps are halacha that have to be from a kosher animal, have to be leather from a kosher animal, is also learned from, is what Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about. Says the Gemara, "Ay v'ham Rabbi Yitzchak ritzuyos shecheres halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai." The fact that the straps have to be black are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. The Gemara says, "Yeah, nehid the gemir the shecheres." You're right. You learn that they have to be black, but tahoris mi-gemir, the fact that they have to be from a Torah animal, that we don't learn, and that's what the Gemara settles with. Says the Gemara, "What's this tachash? My havila the tachash. What happened with the tachash? Shahayu b'mei Moshe, that was around during Moshe Rabbeinu's times. Amar Rabbi Law, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Amar Rabbi Rabbi Meir. Tachash shahayu b'mei Moshe. This tachash that was around during Moshe Rabbeinu's times. Biriya b'fnei atzmi. He was a whole new creature. V'lo yichriya b'chachamim im min chayahu im min behemahu. The chachamim were not sure if it was a type of animal like a cow and a sheep, like a behema, or a type of chaya, like a deer and a giraffe." Now, here is where Hollywood gets the unicorn from, for real. V'keren achas ha'isidah b'mitzchay. It had one horn on its forehead. Ulefishan is Damila the Moshe. And it was created, it appeared for Moshe at one point. It was a creature that the only time it was seen was it came out of the forest, only for Moshe Rabbeinu's time, so he can make out of its skins. And remember, it was a very colorful skin. What do we know about the unicorn from Hollywood? It has a bright, shiny fur, and it's sparkly and everything like that. Because it's Sasgvana. It's very proud of its fur. It's very proud of its colors. It has a horn, and it's very bright and colorful, and it's very proud of its colors. So the fact that it's a horse, it's something like that. It was some sort of, you know, cow, horse-like creature. So this is straight where it comes from. Like almost every other mythological creature, it is actually a real creature. And like we have seen our last cycle through Shas, we've come across mermaids and phoenixes and those big snakes and those things that live in, those mandrakes. And basically every creature in Harry Potter actually is actually real. So here we have the unicorn.
This has to do with this, but somebody was making Moshe, so he made Moshe with a horn because he thought the light was a horn.
Right, yeah, so that doesn't have to do with this. That has to do with a pasuk, because the pasuk says that Moshe came down with Karen or Panov. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu had Karanis, had Karen or Panov. Which means rays of light, but you're right. It was mistranslated by many to mean horns. So, Emin Behemu, the Karen HaKasai Sotho Binzchai, the Fishon is Damele Moshe, V'Asa Mimenu Mishkan, and Moshe, that's a good sustello, V'Asa Mimenu Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan out of it, V'Nignaz, and it went back into hiding after Moshe Rabbeinu used it. So, Emin Degamar Karen HaKasai Sotho Binzchai, from the fact that it says that it had one horn, can we prove that it was a Tahar animal? Shmamina Tataraya, the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Shor, Shehikrav Adam Rishon, the Shor, the bull, that Adam Rishon was Makriv, Karen Achasai Sulab Mitzchay, it also was a unicorn. Shinemar Vatitav Lashem, Mishor Par, Makrin Mafris. So, as it says, and he gave to Hashem this from the Mishor Par, a Makrin, and Makrin is one horn. So the Gemara says, Makrin, isn't that a lesson of two horns? Tarti Mashma. The Gemara says, Amr of Nachman, Ritzok, Mikarin Ksiv. If you look at the pasuk, it's missing a Yud, which is Mashma that it's one horn. Says the Gemara. Well, if Adam Arishan brought, from here we see it looks more ox-like than horse-like. Says the Gemara, V'lifshit minei demin behemahu. If Adam Arishan brought it for a carbon, don't you think we can prove that it is a behema? Says the Gemara, Kevan de Ika Keresh de Min Chayahu, V'lesle Elechad de Keren. Since there is a type of creature called a Keresh, which is a Chaya, and there also it only has one horn, Ikel Memer Min Chayahu, we could say that it is a Min Chaya. How do they translate Keresh? K E R E S H?
Yeah. Just Keresh. And in the notes, it says it's a...
A giraffe? Does anybody say that? Am I mixing it up?
They show a picture of a giraffe, but yeah. It's one of several possibilities.
Yeah, I think they say it's giraffe.
Our quote says it's a single-horned deer.
Hmm. All right.
They suggest it's some kind of wild ox.
I'm wondering because I think... What?
The auroch? Names of a unicorn.
Oh yeah,
right. An auroch, they're extinct these days, but an aurochs is a wild cow, basically.
And it had one horn.
No. As far as you know, it was like cows and it had two horns. I don't know what. I mean, who knows?
Because I think in Chulin, I think we translated Keresh as giraffe. I think so. If I'm not mixing it up.
So, but how does this answer the question, though? I mean, because. They want to say that because he was Machaven, he's a carbon has to be...
A behemoth. Right.
So, it's just, there was such a thing as this, which is a chaya? Or was this Keresh is a chaya, so what if there's a chaya that existed? If Adam Arishan brought it, that's what he's trying to say.
No, because Adam it didn't say that Adam Arishan brought a tachash.
He
brought a one-horned animal.
He brought a one-horned animal.
Right, so maybe he brought...
like, would he bring the, you know, either he has to, you know, it's the rules of the Torah, which is you bring a behemoth.
Right. So Adam Arishan definitely brought a. Adam Rishon definitely brought a one-horned animal that was a behemoth. But since we find, even nowadays, kosher one-horned animals that are chayas, maybe our tachash, which we only actually bumped into once in history, also was a chaya. In other words, not necessarily was it the same animal that Adam Rishon brought. Maybe there are three creatures. There's the behemoth that Adam Rishon brought. There's the keresh. And then there is the tachash, which was only found at one point in history.
But normally, you're not allowed on a base mikdash or a bama. You only bring a behemoth, right?
Right.
You don't bring a chaya.
That's the Gemara's raya. The Gemara says from the fact that Adam Rishon brought a unicorn, the animal. Obviously, all unicorns are one, and behemoths. The Gemara says, no, I'll find you an animal nowadays that has one horn, and it's not a unicorn, and it's not a behemoth.
I hear.
I think it used to be that before Noah's time, you could bring a chaya and a behemoth as an animal. But that was only carbon, but you could only eat plants. And then after Noah's time, you could eat kosher animals and you could only bring behemoths.
Well, then the Gemara doesn't have a raya then. The Gemara's raya is from the fact that Adam Rishon brought it as a carbon. Obviously, it was a behemoth. But we see Nalia. Why are you saying that? Where do you know that from?
I said I saw it in the book or something.
Yeah, but it's mamish before, not like that from this Gemara. Unless that source has a different Malach in our Gemara. Our Gemara is beferish. That you can't. I see. Our Gemara is beferish that you can't bring an animal, you can't bring a chai even before Noach's times. I don't know. I think that's yeah. Okay, let's see the Mishnah. Psilas habeged. If a person has a psila, a piece of a beged of a cloth, a kifla, which was twisted into being a wick. But you didn't singe it before Shabbos. And therefore, the question is, it's going to be a bit hard to light. Rabbi Elazar Omer, it wasn't lit before Shabbos. A lot of times, nowadays what we do is, we go ahead and some people are makbid, Erev Shabbos, to singe the wicks. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But some people singe the wicks. Nowadays, you don't have to be as makbid with it because the wicks are literally made to light and it doesn't take long to light. But back in the day, it was very hard to light pieces of, you know, if you're ever trying to light something that's hard to... I know by Hanukkah Menorah, when sometimes, you know, we make our own wicks, it could take, you know, a good minute for it to catch on fire, especially if it's covered in oil. So the minhag amongst many people is to light it beforehand and then quickly blow it out. So that's called hibava, if it was singed before. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, it's Tamei. It's able to be Mekabel Tumah. Because even though you twisted it into a thing that looks like a psila, Kol's mind, you did not singe it. It is still considered a garment. And Ve'ein Madlikinba. And you should not light it on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva Aymer Tohirahi. No, once you twisted it into a wick, it loses its label as a beged. It is no longer a beged. And Memela, you cannot mekabel tuma anymore. Umadli, and therefore it's tahira. Umadli kimba, and you could use it to light. Go ahead. What were you saying, Doctor?
I was going to say, the opinion of the Mishnah, it's, or maybe it's because I'm thinking wicks is pretty small, but it doesn't have a shear or a size of a something that you probably.
So you'd have to say that it was 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois, which is not terribly large.
I guess the wicks I'm thinking of, like, by regular,
kid or not. Yeah, not like the floating wicks. Like, for example, like, the wicks I use for Machanica Manera are definitely 3 long, that's for sure. And I could hear making them, rolling them up from a thin, you know, I could hear it being a 3x3. You just imagine a badika cloth. Rolling that up really thin and then putting it. You know, one of those thin badika cloths. Even badika cloths have come in different sizes, different thicknesses, varying levels of thicknesses. But you can imagine a really thin one. And
Bishlama says the Gemara le'inyan tuma. I can understand le'inyan tuma. Baha pliki, I understand the machlekas. The Rebbe Lezer Savar, kipul ena moyel. That folding it up is not considered significant. And therefore, it's still considered a beged. And therefore, uvimilsa kamaisa kaima. It retains its original format of being a regular beged. Rabbi Akiva Savar, kipul moyel. Rabbi Akiva holds that folding it up is significant. And therefore, ubetule batel, you now turned it into a wick, and therefore it's batel. It is no longer considered a garment, and therefore it's no longer contract, it's no longer able to be tame. Elalinian hadlaka, b'may pliki. But why do they argue whether or not you're allowed to use it to light? Who cares? Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Ishiya, v'chein Amar Rav Ada bar Ahava, hacha b'shalish al shalish mitzumtzamas haskinan. We are talking about a beged that was exactly 3x3. Imagine again, a bediki cloth. A beged that's exactly 3x3. Askinen, we're talking about. Ubi yomtev shechal yez on Erev Shabbos, askinen. And we're talking about yomtev that is chal on Erev Shabbos. So it was like this year coming up, Pesach, this coming week, where Friday is going to be yomtev and Shabbos is going to be Shabbos. The Kuli Alma is lehud Rabbi Yehuda, and everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Masikin bekelim, ve'ein Masikin b'shivar kelim. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to, on Yantiv, throw into the fire kalim, full kalim, because they're not muksa. But you cannot throw into the fire broken kalim, that broke on Yantiv. Because since yesterday it was going to be a chair, and today it's a broken chair. The only thing you could do with it is put it in the fire. So it changed. It changed its use. It has the din of noilad, and therefore it's muksa. Not everybody agrees to this, but everybody in our Mishnah agrees to this. So everybody agrees that you're not allowed to throw in a broken chair into the fireplace on Yontif. But if it was a full chair, you would be allowed to. Besides the Baal Tashchis, if it was a full chair, you would be allowed to. If it was a broken chair, you're not allowed to because it's muksa. The Kuli Alma is Lehudu Ula. Everybody agrees to like Ula. The Amar Ula, Hamadlik Tzarit Sheadlik Varei Vayaitzi. Everybody agrees to Ula that says that when lighting a wick on Yontif, on Shabbos or Yontif, you have to, before Shabbos, rove of the wick. Imagine this was the wick. Rove of it has to be lit on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. In order to be Yaitze, your mitzvah of lighting candles, rove the wick has to be on fire. You have to light rove the wick. So therefore, now the question is as follows. Rebbe Lezer Sava, Rebbe Lezer holds that kipul, that folding it over, eina mayel, does not, if you folded it over on Erev Yontif, it's not significant like we just said. Therefore, when you have this wick, what do you have in your hand? A bedikah cloth that's folded up, what do you have in your hand? A regular keli. Because it's not significant, the fact that you rolled it up. Now that on Yontif you want to start burning, and now that you're on Yontif you want to start burning it, the Kaman to Avdik Beporta, now that on Yontif you start burning it, as soon as you start burning it 1%, what happens? You broke it. And now you can't light the rest of it. Kaman to Avdik Beporta, Havilei Shever Kli, you broke it. V'chi Kam Adlik, and therefore when you're lighting from 1% to 51%, B'shever klika madlik, you're lighting you're using a broken keli, and you're not allowed to use a broken keli. However, Rabbi Akiva Sover, no. When you folded it up on Erev Yontif, kipul mayel, kipul is significant, and therefore ve'ein teres kli alav, it does not have a teres kli. It's already considered broken from Erev Yontif, and therefore v'chika madlik, and therefore when you light it 1%, ve'eitz ba'alma kamadlik, you are lighting a regular piece of wood, a regular broken kli. That's fine. Amr of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, aha, hainu de tanina, that's what it states about this Mishnah, shalish al shalish mitzum tzomis. I heard about this, that it's exactly 3x3. I heard a whole bunch of people saying exactly 3x3. I didn't know what they were talking about. Now I know. They're talking about this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, medikamataritz of Adar bar Ava, alibud Rav Yehuda, from the fact that Rav Adar bar Ava used Rav Yehuda's opinion to answer this Mishnah, can we prove that Rav Ada bar Ava holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says that you're not allowed to use a broken keli on Yontif if it breaks on Yontif because it's muksa? Shema minik Rav Ada k'Rabbi Yehuda svir lei. Ay, umi amar Rav Ada bar Ava, hachi, does Rav Ada bar Ava really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'ha amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Rav Ada bar Ava says, nachri shechokak kav
Bikas, if you have a non-Jew who drills out a kav, which is just a mount of measure, bikas in a log, and so therefore he now makes it into a bowl, you have a log, a nachri goes out and drills out, he scoops out some of the wood, so now you have a bowl for your breakfast cereal. Yisrael masika biyantif. A Jew is allowed to use that, a Jew is allowed to burn it, use that bowl to burn it on Yantif. Even though technically it was just created now, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Noilad, so it should be Muksa. Va'amai, says the Gemara, Noilad too. According to you, that you hold of Noilad, how come you allow somebody to go ahead and use that bowl for firewood on Yantiv? Says the Gemara, L'tivrem d'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Akiva k'amalei v'leilei svirlei. Says the Gemara, no. He personally doesn't hold that it's muksa. He personally does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He was explaining the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, but he personally, he says he doesn't hold of it. All right, so let's pause over here. Have a great day and a great Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos HaGodol. And it does starting tomorrow.
Wonderful Shabbos, everybody.
Yeah, have a great Shabbos, Rabbi Shishin. Starting to
Rabbi,
yeah.
Sunday,
6 o'clock in the morning. And starting tomorrow, it starts to get it starts to get a lot easier. No more.
Do you plan on getting ahead?
Okay. What?
Do I plan on getting ahead? You know what? That's an excellent idea because it's going to be 3 days Yontif and then Sunday. So let's try to do that. Let's try to, that's a great idea. Let's try to work on, if we could, because it is Agadata this coming week. So let's try to, so it does run a bit quicker. Let's try to work on an Amud a day extra. Okay, so this way we have Monday, Tuesday.
Sunday is next year, right?
Sunday morning, yeah.
Okay, Sunday morning,
6
o'clock.
Mitzvah Shem. All right.
Thank you for the shir. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody.
All right, again, Erev Shabbos. And we'll do two, we'll do an extra Amud for the next 4 days.
Rabbi.
All right, yes, Alex.
Yeah, Shabbos.
Shabbos, Reb Shimon. Yeah, Rabbi. Yes, Alex.
Can you record?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can put it up? Sure, 100%.
Because I missed them.
Okay, fine. I'll put it up. You get it on that sheer enjoyment?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll put it up there. All right. Have a great one, Sadik.